Yo, welcome to another episode of No Repercussions Podcast. I'm your host, Brunson. We got the crew on the line. The boy, Smitty. What up, though?
What up?
We got the homegirl, Tiff. How you doing, Tiff?
Yeah, life's good.
We got the boy, Mr. K.
What's up?
And last, but certainly, like, least the homie, King Keys. How you feeling, brother?
Hey, I'm all right. What up, though? How y'all doing out there?
Shh, chilling, living. Everybody good? Glad to see you, beautiful black people.
Living.
All right.
Glad to see Tiff. I ain't seen her in how long. This is, I think, her 3 out of 4 appearances she does out of a season. You know, she's racing us.
I mean, I feel like that's good. The last one, I was going for my birthday. You know, I got to celebrate.
So excuses, baby. It's excuses. It's okay.
Was here. I mean, you was here before the other one when everybody else, you know, when it was...
You weren't here the last episode. I was here.
Neither of these three was here.
Who are you talking about? Me?
You, King Keys, Mr. K.
I'm almost always here, so.
Not that one. Well, almost doesn't count. Almost is
always on time. Always.
Anyway, so y'all ready to get into this shit?
Do it.
All right, let's get it going. So, with this topic, you know, kind of a serious topic, we wanted to know and reach out to you guys when we created this is, if someone gave you an envelope with your death date inside of it, would you open? Like, is there something you want to know? Would you be like, nah, that's just, you know, taking the fun out of what life has expected for me? But would you want to open it? So I'm going to start it off with Mr. K. I'm going to start it off with you. If someone gave you an envelope with your death date inside of it, would you open?
No. I wouldn't want to mess with fate that way. I'd rather just be surprised and live life and try to live the fullest and not try to live life destined the way I want it to end up or the way I want it to go. So I'd rather just not know.
Okay. Moving on. Smitty, what about you, Smitty? If you had someone gave you an envelope with your death date inside of it, would you open it?
I would.
Why so?
And this is why. Like, I am like about certainty, right? Like, I know I'm going to die, but like the fact is that I would know the date, I think it'll be so freeing, right? Like, okay, well, I know I can't, like, it depends on, let me put some caveats behind it. As long as I can't accelerate my death, I would be fine. Like, if I accelerated my death, then I'm fucked. Like, I'm back to square one. But if it was like, hey, this is the date you're going to die, predestined, no matter what you do, you won't die before this date. It'd be so freeing, right? Like, it'd be freeing. Like, I would do so much more riskier shit, and I wouldn't be as scared because I'd be like, well, I'm not gonna die. So, like, I would, like, some things I want to try, right? Like, I want to try, like, just jumping off a mountain and, like, hang, like, sail glide. But right now, I'm scared of heights. I'm scared of fucking dying. But I would do it because I was like, oh, I ain't gonna die. You know, like, I do want to bungee jump. I never wanted to, but I would definitely bungee jump. I already experienced something I didn't want to experience, that I probably did want to experience one time, but not now. I rode a plane in the middle of a storm, and that shit is not fun.
you wanted to do that?
I always wanted to fly in the middle of a hurricane, like with the hurricane folks. Like,
and y'all call me white.
Yeah, well, I mean, only in appearance.
Smitty's an Oreo.
Yeah, I don't know, but that shit was crazy because I've ridden in the storm too. Well, I didn't ride in the storm. I ridden and, like, you could see the hurricane spinning and forming while the plane was up in the air, and I was like, Jesus Christ, please don't let that, like, shift. I mean, granted, we in the air, probably was at least 100 miles away. I mean, I don't know. I'm not no physicist, but it just was scary to see, like, the funnel cloud happening. So I don't know.
But I probably would have tried it earlier. Me being at my age now, I probably wouldn't do any of the things, even if I knew my due date. But there's some things I do would, like, that's more that I would probably be more inclined to do. It wouldn't be like, I don't think I would take any more, like, risks and finance. I wouldn't change, like, my destiny or, like, well, shoot, I can't, you know, it'd be more like thrill seeking things.
You would have a lot of unprotected sex. Like, baby, I'm good. I'm not dying until 2068, baby. Come
on. I ain't got no. That don't mean you don't get shit, though, from it, though. Like, that don't mean you ain't gonna die. You just, like, you gonna get some shit, though. You may get some shit and have unprotected sex. You know, nobody's that Q-tip down there no more.
Oh man, hell no.
So yeah, I would just do longer. I would just do more risky things. Then I still would probably keep my life the way it is, but I would take a little bit more risk for as more thrill seeking.
Okay, thank you, sir. Tiff, what about you?
I would want to know, but I know that knowing would probably kill me, and it would give me like so much anxiety. So I would have to get rid of the envelope immediately. Like, I couldn't sit on it. Like, if somebody put it in my hand, it's like, hey, here's your death date. I got to immediately get rid of it, because if you give me time to think about it, I'm going to open it.
Okay. All right. And King Keys, last but not least.
Yeah, no, I don't want to know. Like, Tiff, I will worry myself if I knew. And then I would cultivate these ideas of how to be like, okay, well, you know, on this day, I'm just staying in the house. I'm about to have, you know, somebody watching me in case I'm having you job, but I would try to, you know, get over that date, you know. So, no, I mean, if it's going to come, it's just going to come. I don't want to know.
See, go ahead,
B. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think I'm the only one here with Smitty. I like the plan, so I would want to know. And if I knew I had 10, 20, 30 years, I probably live those 30 years up. I mean.
And then when you get to year 25, you shitting bricks every day.
No, I would have planned for it, though.
I would have planned for it, and I would have lived life accordingly.
I would have some good life insurance.
Without knowing. Like, why would you not have plans for your life without knowing that?
Because sometimes, like, you... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you fear what you don't understand. Hate what you can't conquer. If I knew that my death is pending anyway, right? But it could be tomorrow. It could be 60 years from now. Like, we really don't know. If I knew that this day in time it was going to be the end, then like all care go out the world, because I mean, sure, for that first 6 months of the year, it's like, god damn, like I know this is how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. But then after that, it's like, all right, well, let me get to living the best possible life or experience the best possible things I can before that date occurs, so that I can leave with a legit legacy or, you know, something behind for people to know about.
I'm definitely going to go get some term life insurance, because I know the term.
So fucking, you talking about a glow up for my family? Absolutely. I'm going to go throw mad bucks into a term.
Like, I'm like, ooh, I'm going to get the term life insurance. Oh, I got 60 years. I'm going to get the longest one.
I got Prudential. I got motherfucking AAA. I'm getting all of them. Well, sir, why do you keep taking out $3.5 million policies? Oh, I don't know. Shit, just to cover my bases.
Never be too sure.
Let me go ahead.
So would your response change if it was a matter of moments? So say you get the envelope and it tells you you got 2 hours.
I still would want to know. Like, I still would want to know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
if I had 2 hours left, I know what I would do in my last 2 hours. Like, I would definitely try to spend as much time with my family as I could. Like, I would just hang out with them, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, sit around, and then, you know, you just sit in that chair, you know, you're like, ooh, let me get my comfortable chair. You know, I eat the best meal of my life.
Like, all right, y'all, so I got 30 seconds left.
Would you tell your family?
Absolutely.
I would tell my family.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would either go one or two ways. I either tell my family or go off into the woods somewhere and die alone, right? Like, one way or the other. Like, I'm
dying in front of family.
Yeah, like
I'm be sitting and listen. Like, I'm be sitting in my favorite chair, like having everybody around me be like, listen, just let me go.
Listen, I really wouldn't want, because being that I've experienced it twice, I don't want to see nobody take their last breath ever fucking again, and I wouldn't want nobody to experience that from me. So I definitely will probably try to, like, I would tell you I'm going to die, and I would tell you where you can come find me, but I don't want you to see me take my last breath, because that is some shit you can never fucking forget, and it's hurtful. So I would probably go the other way and be like, all right, look, come get my body off of at the Coney Island on 6 Mile in Wyoming.
The Coney, though?
They're going to find your ass naked.
No. I was like, make sure, listen, before you do anything, you call company. No, listen. So I'm gonna throw a curveball in there. What if the envelope had death date and your cause of death?
I mean, I feel like that's the same thing. What is it? Because so, if I like, know my date, cause of
a
death,
a date, because you like if you say, well, like you could die like doing something fun, and you be like, oh, that's the way to go. Or like, because knowing a date, you don't know how you're gonna die. Like that could, you like somebody could come in and do a guillotine on your ass and you be like, oh shit.
Yeah, like what if they say you're gonna die crossing the street? You know, I would be like, you know what? That day,
hey,
I'm gonna just call it a day. I'm gonna stay in the house, make a TV dinner, and episodes of Good Times.
But listen, what if it ain't really a street? What if it's like you slipped and fell on one of your kids' toys? That's a race car track. They got a street on it. Hey, that's man. how you cross that shit and you died.
Look here, what are you from destination, nigga? Come on now.
The cause of death would make me open my envelope anymore than
I would rip that sucker open if I knew the cause of it. Like the date, I still open it, but the cause of death, I don't know what I'm gonna die of, because I'm like, okay, like if they say you're gonna die of congestion heart failure, nigga, I'm be working my, I'm be on the gym every day.
But that's the thing, you only want to know because you're going to try to avoid it. You're going to try to
do I want to win.
But if that's what it is, you trying to beat the system, you can't beat
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
You cannot beat it. That's we all going that way.
We not beating it, we're just planning for it.
So, like, okay, I'm going to tell you this, right? Let me ask you this, right? You playing blackjack. Would you not want to know what the next card is?
Okay, that's completely different because me playing that hand, I might lose some money or I might win some money, but I'm still to play your hand. Like that talk about life and death. That's
it's a big deal.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't.
Yeah.
Playing with your life is a big gamble. But
life is a big gamble. We don't know. Like right now. Like the envelope is in. Right now the envelope is not there. Right. We don't know what the date is. But we all know that inevitably we're gonna end. You know, say every move you make. Every cheeseburger you eat is a gamble. We don't know if that's gonna be my last cheeseburger.
But then everything you do, like walking down the street, eating
going to the market, and you saw them folks get killed. Like really, it is.
Life is a gamble. Like stepping out your door is a gamble.
So having some certainty in this gamble. I mean, granted,
helps me live better. Like I know, like okay, like for example, if they say you're gonna die from congestive heart failure in 2099, right? Okay, cool. Like I know I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna try to avoid. I'm gonna do more exercise. I'm gonna do my thing. I'm gonna be hitting it. But at least I know that I'm not about to die in a car crash.
Yeah, but you'll also be over 100 years old. So like, you'll also be over 100 years old. So like, who cares?
I would eat if
that was my death day, I'm eating whatever. Like, fuck it, nigga. I ain't died to 2099, nigga. Shit. Hit the last, baby. Shit. Get it. Do it for a tough.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to call because this is nothing I can do. If it's final. No matter if I'm dying of congestive heart failure, if I'm dying of a car crash or a bullet to the head, no matter what I do, that's what it's going to be. So no matter how healthy of a lifestyle I live, no matter how careful I am, that's just what it's going to be.
So if somebody told you you was going to die getting shot on this specific date, are you telling me that you would just be like, fuck, I'm going to go live my life, or would you just pause that day?
Where am I hide?
In the house.
And they can't come in the house?
You got shot going to a fucking Coney Island and get some chili cheese fries.
What do you mean? Know
you know I'm not going to get the bitches.
Still come to the house. It's nowhere you can hide.
Yeah. You know, if you know where, you know, how it's going to go down, I mean, if you don't go to the Coney Island, they ain't going to come in.
So I have a question for y'all. What about y'all legacy? Like, what do y'all want y'all legacy here on Earth to be?
Man, so I want to be known as a fair person, entrepreneur.
You already fair skin.
No. Family. You know, this black on black crime just came, you know. Anyway, a fair person, just cool down to earth, my shirt off my and setting my family up. That's really what I want to leave behind. Like once I do that, at that point, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? I can go ahead and die, but that's my purpose. You know what I'm saying?
I got you, Mr. K.
I would say that I was going to be seen as someone who cared about other people, who treated others like he wanted to be treated, and was a good father and a good man.
Okay, Tiff.
I just want to be known as a good person with a good heart and who was solid to everybody she met. Like, no matter how you think back, like, you know, after I'm dead and gone, you think back, you say, like, she was solid as hell. Like, she was just a all-around good person.
You're all so sweet. Smitty, what about you? What would you want your legacy to be?
I want to be known as a mean-ass person.
No,
petty-ass person.
You ain't got to go too far.
People I remember, though.
I want to be known as a giving, understanding, and loyal person. Like, I don't want anybody to be like, he was fake and he was this and that. Like, I don't want that. Like, I want to be known, you know, like, he was loyal. He gave his heart. I don't mind being known as mean or anything like that, but I just don't want to be, I don't want to be known as fake. That's the one thing I don't ever want to be. That's the one. That's the word. That's my trigger word. I do not want to be known as fake.
That was a fake ass answer.
I also want to be known that, like, I don't take no shit. So whenever you look back, you always say, Tiff never took shit from anybody.
We're gonna get shirts made like that. She didn't take no shit.
Definitely gonna get shirts
made. Nobody.
From nobody. All right, I appreciate y'all. Any final thoughts on this topic? What about me? About my legacy?
How do you want to be remembered?
As pretty much the same, right? I want to be as a person that known that was a caring, giving, you know, a loving family man who, you know, helped as many people as he could here on this earth, you know, and strive to uplift his people, whatever that be, you know, to make a significant change or inspire the person that makes a great change. That's kind of where I'm shooting for.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. This is all kumbaya and shit. But thank y'all for that. So we're going to go ahead and move on to our next topic. And this one's a little lighthearted. And I want to know, we was just talking about this because we got on the subject one day of one of the worst ass whoopings you ever received. So I want to know from you, from my gallery, describe the worst ass whooping you ever got in your life. And I'm going to start off with Tiff.
Me and my brother, I don't even think we were teenagers at this time. We were running through the house, chasing each other with knives, having a knife fight. And my mom called us. Like, we were like literally like at each other's necks. And my mom called us. And I didn't really get a lot of whoopings as a kid. But with this, obviously, she felt like she needed to tell my daddy that we needed to get a whooping.
No shit.
So my dad, he was in a den sleep. My dad gets up and he whoops my brother first. And then when it was my turn to get whooped, he was like, you know, you stay right there. And it, like, for me, that was just like, it made me feel like I was the worst person in the world. So he whooped me like really bad that I had whelps on my back. And I was like convinced as a kid I was going to run away. Like, man, fuck them. They just don't get it. I'm getting up out of here. But, you know, obviously, time heals all physical wounds.
Wait. Hold on. Tiff, was it a cat one or cat three?
This would have been an open and a removal.
For sure. Got your ass beat. Yeah. But yeah, no, okay. Are we terminating or are we just gonna put it as a families first?
I'm not, you probably wouldn't terminate. It wouldn't be a termination.
You would
put in services that he probably wouldn't have completed, and that's how you'd have gotten to
I fuck this shit.
Yeah, I'm sure would not have cooperated with any services. Maybe at the last minute he'd have came through once they told him they were gonna terminate, and my mom convinced him, like, come on.
Gotcha.
Things went too far, but
Okay. So that was a significant ass whooping. All right. Mr. K, what about you? What was the worst ass whooping you ever got?
I could say I was probably about 11 and I got suspended from school. And my punishment was I was supposed to stay in my room. My mom stayed. She took off work so that she could make sure that, you know, I was, you know, I received my punishment and that, she said no TV and stuff like that. So then it was early in the morning and she was downstairs asleep and I was upstairs in my room and I decided that I was going to watch TV. It didn't matter what she was going to say. because she was asleep and she would never know. So I snuck into my sister's room, took out her TV.
Wait, I'm sorry. You removed the TV physically from her room?
Yeah, but it wasn't a large TV. It was a small TV.
Yeah, the ass was coming for you.
So I snuck it into a closet and I was chilling and I was...
Oh, what? You put it in the closet?
TV. Yeah, I put it in the closet because I didn't want her to hear. But I was just watching TV. So I was watching TV and I was having a good laugh. And then I was like, all right, commercial break. So I was like, well, let me run downstairs, get some cereal, and then let me check, make sure mom ain't up. Open that door. My mom standing right there with daddy's belt in her hand. And I was like, oh. I was like, oh, shoot. And so she grabbed my hand, took me all the way downstairs. And then before you know it, she yanked me by my leg, lifted me up, and started spanking my behind. And I was trying to stop the belt whoopings on my butt. But she was holding me up by my legs. So if I didn't hold my head, I was going to get hit on my head from the floor. So I had to either take the butt whooping with the belt or try to defend it off with my hand. But then if I did defend it off with my hand, I was getting my head hit because she was lifting me up with whatever strength she had. She tore me up so badly. I remember to this day and I will never forget. And after that, I was a changed man. I listened to every single punishment that I had and I took it. And I never, ever, ever, ever disobeyed my mom.
Hey, you ain't tester and gangster after that, dog.
I guess so. This nigga was hanging upside down. I bet you remember her office hours, too.
I don't know where
my mom got that strength.
I don't know where she got that strength, but she was holding me on one hand.
That's superhuman mom. With the
other. Yeah. She beat the brakes off your ass. Somebody call 911. She beat the brakes off your ass. All right. Smitty and then King Keys.
Okay, my childhood worst whooping. I actually had like a lot of whoopings. I don't know which one is the worst. There's a couple, but the one that's really bad, I can't remember like what caused me to get a whooping, so I can't really tell y'all that one. But the one that I remember was I remember I called my mother a bitch, and I was in like fifth grade, and so I like hid, right? Cause like, and my mama had the whole neighborhood looking for me, but I hid in our basement between the washer and the wash tub, the sink. So nobody knew where I was, right? Oh, you talking about like everybody was looking for me. Everybody, my uncle came over, my great uncle, like my granddaddy's brother came looking for me, right? Like everybody was looking for me. And my sister, she was downstairs. She came back downstairs. She said, I know he downstairs. And my sister found me and dragged my ass out from underneath this washer and this tub. And so my sister got a hold of me, right? And my uncle got a hold of me, right? So they all whooped my ass, right? Like, so that's not the worst part about it, though. My dad came over. Village. Yeah, my dad came over. And my dad had this tree branch. It was like, it was probably a nice, like quarter inch thick. And it was really long. it was really long. And go ahead, Keenan, you can't hear?
I mean, everybody else can hear you. I can hear you, Smitty, so you can keep going.
So it was really long. And I remember being asleep. Now, mind you, I got my ass whooped twice. I was out, thought I was good. Like my dad came over and hit that switch across my ass when I was asleep, woke me all the way up. Okay. And I remember he hit me and I kept putting my hands on my butt. He's like, every time you put your hands, I'm gonna hit harder. And he would hit harder. I'll move my hand and he would come in again. But what was so significant about it was the branch. The branch was so long that all the pieces were breaking off and they were all in the bed. And so like you talking about like sores and blisters, and guess who had to take a bath right after? My ass. Now get your ass in the bath.
God damn.
abuse, man.
That was child abuse for real.
Do you ever call her a bitch again?
Never. I refuse. Like, I don't even get my lips to make that, to make the B sound. I'm glad my mom's name started with a C. My mom was Beatrice or something. Oh man. I don't say nothing about no bees. You're like, who make honey? They got yellow, yeah, yellow jackets.
That's fucked up. Damn. All right, King Keys, what about you?
Oh shit, man. I was fucking up in school, you know, and my mama was like, oh, you want to fuck up in school? And she made me take my shirt off, lay on the bed, and she was just sitting there like crisscross applesauce in the bed on everything. And it had the bell, was like, oh, pop. Oh, you got this and that. I mean, I had welts on my back. I was like, damn.
He was sitting cross-legged in the
bed. I felt like a slave. I was like, dog, it's just like some slave shit. Like,
where were you? Were you standing?
No, I was laying across the bed. Like, it was a, it was, you know, she had a king size bed. So I was just laid across the front end of the bed, right?
Hey, you would never get cold comfortable.
I was laying on my stomach. I was just laying like that.
Hey, that is an ass whooping you taking. If a nigga get comfortable, she found a seat in position.
and didn't even have a belt folded. Had that bitch long. Just pop. I'm just like, oh, man.
Oh, God.
What was the worst thing y'all got hit with, like, as a kid?
Oh, just belts and
switch.
And fists.
Switch.
And fists.
I got a shoe through at me once. Switch.
Am I the only one that got the stitcher cords?
Yes.
Like, I remember. I don't know if y'all know, but the old school irons had the thickest cords. And yeah, our arm broke. And my mama let me have it one time with that iron cord, just like whoop whoop whoop.
What did you do, my nigga?
Why
would you keep doing it? Like, dude, honestly, dog.
I was real bad.
Once you saw they wasn't playing with you, the fact that you kept going, you was a whole trooper.
Listen. Smitty was real bad as a kid.
You was that headstrong to be bad? Mm-hmm. Like, fuck it, I gotta do it.
Real bad as a kid.
I don't care how much this shit hurt. I gotta do it.
He bad, man.
I was real bad. So it was really like,
oh, deep so, ass.
Like, y'all remember, like, so, like, I know I got the holler knocked out of me a couple times when you get that middle part of your back and you be doing this shit. You be doing that with the hands trying to fill that spot. That's the worst. Ooh, that's the worst whooping. And I like those are to me. You don't even know what to do. You don't even know what to do. You're like,
you've done that many times.
Have you ever did the spin chasing it? Like,
oh yeah, trying to get some air on that shit to cool it down.
Oh my god.
Hey, you was bad because I only got two whoopings. I ain't never get no whoopings that bad.
Oh, I got a lot of whoopings. Oh, I got a lot of whoopings.
I got a whooping that I could test to this day, and I still be talking to my grandmother. Like, that was some bullshit. That wasn't my fault. But she went and got a switch, and I was at Belle Isle, and I went and hang out with my brother. Now, his punk ass, too. He a whole ass nigga for that shit, too. Because he's the only person I know. I'm like 5 or 6. Of course, I'm going with my older brother, right? So I go with my brother. We out at the beach having a good time, all my older cousins. I come back. Well, I think the police might have been there. Motherfuckers were looking for me like, oh my God, this nigga done ran off. We didn't find you.
He in the woods.
Man, they didn't know where I was at. I was like, I arrived back with my brother. If anybody I was going to be with was my brother, man, she beat the shit out of me with that switch, boy. Beat the shit out of me. I was like, you know what? I don't like you. I ain't even got to never go over you see you again. She beat the shit out of me with that switch. I was like, to this day, I told my mom, I was like, nah, that was some bullshit. I seen the gat wolf for that one. But that was the only time that was the worst one I can remember. So I might have got beat again and just blacked out from it and don't remember it. But that's the one I can remember. I got a shoe through at my head once because I said something smart to my mom. So I was relatively good compared to the rest of y'all.
I remember my neighbor. So my mother never let me have, like,
this nigga got PTSD.
like the race, the Hot Wheels race car tracks, you know. And I remember I was at my neighbor's house and we was like real close, so it was fine. And I remember she asked me to do something. I thought I'm not doing it. And she hit me with one of the race car tracks. And like you talking about like taking a nap, like I was out. Like
you know how you got a whooping and you went to sleep.
That race car track had me sleep. I mean, I had some good sleep, but I mean, I still was in pain when I woke up. But yeah, I got the bad one was when like the neighbor whooped you and you go tell your mama, your mama ain't do nothing. You just felt defeated. Like,
I don't know about that.
I wasn't that bad of a kid.
I think you got to be a badass kid for your neighbor to have to whoop you. Like,
I ain't never had that. I had neighbors come to my defense.
I've had neighbors tell on me, and I got in trouble for that. But like them putting their hands on me, no dice.
I remember my neighbor next door. So I remember tearing up her, like she was a gardener, and I remember she had ticked me off or something, like just said something snarly, you know. And I had tore up her plants.
Hold on, and she you said were bad what? At them. She said something what? Snarly. Let me look that up.
and so she tore her plant up, and I remember her spanking me with her hand like real good. I remember she called my mother, and so my dad didn't kind of like her, so she wanted my dad to whoop me for tearing up her flowers. My dad's like, well, I can't even, you know, I don't even got no switch to tear him up. So he kind of spanked me with his belt. And she did not like that, but she had whooped me already. She had spanked me with her hand. And then she sent me home, and my mom was like, you know, don't be tearing nobody's flowers, blah, blah, blah. And my dad kind of like hit me with the belt a couple of times, but it wasn't like super memorable. But I remember doing that. So I remember a lot of stuff when I was a kid.
It was bad as fuck.
Excuse me, guys, if I may interrupt. The word of the day is snarly, angry, or bad tempered. That is, I was thinking like snarl, and I know how you speak fast and be fucking up your words and shit. So I'm like, oh, maybe he meant snarky, snarly. I learned something. Hey, if y'all in a car and you know you see somebody and they got an attitude, just say, hey, they are really snarly. Enhance your vocabulary, people.
I mean,
never too late.
You don't have to bring that snarly tone to me.
Yes. Don't be so snarly.
This thing, see, listen.
Tiff can get really snarly at times when she talks
about burn it the fuck down.
Don't be so snarly.
Listen, you can learn on this podcast, you can have some laughs, and you can talk about your childhood trauma, which leads me to my next point. So do you think we experience trauma from these ass whoopers? Isn't this open to anybody?
Man, I think it is. Man, look,
Tiffany just yes.
Man, look. Yes.
But does it still live with you today, Tiffany?
Yes.
Does it affect you?
No, the ass whooping doesn't live with me. Like, you know how they used to say sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never harm us? That was the most bullshit thing from our childhood. They don't even say it anymore because they know it's bullshit. It wasn't the ass whooping that stuck with me. It was the fact that my daddy said, like, yeah, you right here. Like, I was just the worst person in the world. That for sure stuck with me. Because it's like, you think that I'm like horrible? You think this about me? I'm a kid. Yes, I'm playing with knives, right? Yes, I know that this is wrong. And I can look back and see, you know, like, for sure. This was a horrible
bullshit. Tiffany know you open a knife. She's like, ooh, just I gotta buy stuff that packing already just rippable.
Just bring me a very sharp and serrated butter knife to cut this steak. I don't with the knife.
She's surgical with her fourth edge. That's all. That's fucked
I mean,
up.
It's just, yeah, I for sure think that the ass whooping itself doesn't stay, but the fact that, like, from at least for me, I can only speak for me, the verbiage he used, the words he used surrounding that ass whooping, like, I can still to this day feel it. Like, if I can take myself right back to that moment, like, I know exactly where we were in the house. Like, I know exactly what was going on. Like, I can, I'm reliving it right now.
See, I feel you, Tiffany, because my mama was like that. Like, she and you used to like hit me, but like, she'd just be like, I'm just disappointed in you. And they'd just be like, oh my God, like my whole world, like I ain't shit. I think I said that to myself when she was done talking. Damn, I ain't shit. This is some bullshit. Like, you know, it's, and like, she just gave you that look and like, damn, you know, I just thought so much better of you. And then walk away and he's just like, God damn.
Really?
Like, damn, I'm like, I'm one of them people. So yeah, nah, I feel you. All right. What about anybody else?
Do you always hit your parents with the whooping when you get the whooped? Why don't you love me?
Nah, I wouldn't dare.
Nah, I never said that shit, boy.
My mama straight would have been like, oh, if you notice, then what's the problem? So
cold blooded.
She would have hit me with one of them. Now I'd be like, oh, damn. Okay. So, you know, I mean, no. My brother used to do that shit. He'd be like, he was storming. Oh, I remember one time, he ain't here to defend himself, but I remember one time he was about 16. This nigga get angry, bro. So angry with my mama. And like storm out the house and slam the door and was walking down the street like, I'm gonna run away. And then like, fam, he was walking down the street like, I'm going out my friend. So look, my mama came, like he came back home and they was talking and him and my mom was laughing and kicking it up. And his friend came to ride up and pick him up. And he was like, all right, I'll see y'all later. And she was like, I don't know where you're going. You remember you slammed my door, right? You're not going nowhere. Like, and his friends outside too. Like, oh, and definitely not in my shoes that I bought. Like, oh, in my clothes? You think you're leaving the house with my shit on? But like, the funny thing is, this is like 2 hours then passed, right? Like, they've been cool. They've been talking and shit, eating dinner. 2 hours then passed. Motherfucker, look, the look on his face was like, God damn. I think I recorded that shit because I had my talk boy. I had a talk boy at the time recorded that shit. That shit was funny.
I did too.
As hell.
Those defeats, those, my mama did that one time with me. I got in trouble with school and mama picked me up. I said, mama, you not mad at me? She was like, no. It took me to like Red Lobsters and like it was just like a good old day. Like I said, ooh. Then mama got me home. She was like, take your clothes off
and beat the shrimp out your ass. And
I was like, and then wait. She didn't have to hit you. You started crying. Like, you about to get that whooping.
I thought it was over.
You got mind fucked.
Hey, you be in there playing background music.
And they let you do all the stuff you want to do, and they hit you with that whooping at the end of the day. Like you play video games, watch TV.
So look, you got all that trauma. Like, how do you heal from that trauma, Smitty? You still got trauma today from getting your ass whooped?
You know, I don't know if I don't want to say that I got trauma from it per se. I think that I've learned a lot of valuable lessons around like how to deal with people from being whooped, like what not to say to people. To this day, I'm still nervous about saying bitch, and my mom in the living room right now, like
she have a flashback, like what, nigga?
Like, I hope she sleeps. She ain't here.
Like, what you say? All of a sudden, the shoe gonna come out of nowhere and hit this nigga.
What you say?
Like, you better not think that shit.
But I don't think I have as much trauma. I think I've learned a lot about what discipline I don't want to provide to my kids. I remember being younger and I had this like theory that I was like, I'm not gonna whoop my kids for anything that I got in trouble for, right? Like when I got in trouble, like when I did it, so I'm not gonna whoop my kids for it. But if they spray paint a house, they have to get whooped because I ain't never spray paint a house, right? And but now I'm more like there's way kind of like teach your kids and hit them with the, you know, to help them better, help, you know, whooping them. Yeah, like I know Brunson and him, like he say something, like they crying. He just gotta yell at them and they start crying, you know. So they already know they're in trouble. So just imagine he had that extra on it, you know, and they wouldn't know what to do. You know, oh,
I actually went through that today with Mackenzie. Ty was cleaning the fridge out and whatnot. And, you know, I'm eating. No, I'm sorry. I'm baking. And, you know, she's eating. And she's like, oh, Mom, can you give me a water? And she's like, you're going to have to wait. And she's like, I can't wait to go on my little girl vacation. And, you know, I ain't got to hear, you know, what you want. So my daughter's like, oh, well, I'm not your daughter, you know. And I had to get in her ass, you know. I just told her, like, nah, you're going to go apologize. I'm like, go over there, apologize. So she get up, start crying, and piss herself. She's like, I just peed. I'm like, oh, my God. So she's sitting in there crying, and I'm like, all right, well, she ain't going to do that shit again.
Hey.
That's scary.
Hey, listen. Okay, I got two topics. The first topic we're gonna go serious, and I'm gonna say, yeah, that, I don't really believe, especially as men with daughters. Like, I try not to put my hand on my daughters too much because I don't want them to think that that's acceptable for a man down the line, kind of thing. Also, too, I mean, as everybody on here know, and if y'all when y'all see these videos, I am a massive dude, so I really shouldn't be hitting no kid. I mean, I may pop your hand here and there, but most of the time, I try to use that method of let me just talk to you. I'm gonna talk, kick you real, like, you know. Talk to you so you understand, so you can make better choices. Like, I ain't telling you this because I'm trying to be mean, even though they'd be like, daddy, you mean. I'm just trying to give you better choices. Like, just because your sister had a toy and was playing with it, and now she, you know, now you want it, you gonna hit her? Nah, what kind of bullshit is that? Like, you can't go around socking motherfuckers for their shit unless you on the yard. So, like, you can't just be doing that. So, you know, I just try to instill them life lessons. I mean, I don't have trauma because, like I said, I didn't get a lot of whoopings, but I've known people that, you know, that was probably physically beaten for things that wasn't just. And so I know, you know, especially in our culture, in our culture, you can live with that kind of trauma. So, you know, that's why I want to see where people have trauma. On a side note, really quick, I'm going to take us on a tangent. Kenny, do you feel like your children is soft? You feel like Mackenzie's soft? Like my girl, like the girls cry for just about everything. They cry like 3 or 4 times a day. I'd be like, dude, toughen up. I'm going to drop your ass off in the woods with a butter knife. You don't toughen up.
But I think that will improve as they are around people. Like, I was like that with Keenan, you know. So I got him into boxing and everything. And, you know, at one point, you know, he got, like, suspended for fighting. And he was taking the boxing to school, you know. So I'm like, okay, well, he ain't soft. I'm like, you got to back down a little bit. So, you know, I think as they just have more interaction with kids and they're going to meet those asshole kids, they're going to adjust. You know, right now I wouldn't worry about it when they're young. But I do think compared to when we were younger, the kids in general now are soft. I was talking to it with Mike across the street on North Line, and we was talking about how we'll just go over each other's house and be on our bikes and be gone for hours. Nigga, I would not. Nigga, Keenan Jr., I'd be calling him everything, man. He's like, hey, man, where you at? All right, man, I'm tracking you, man. I see you 2 blocks over. All right, nigga.
Is that our fault, nigga, though? As parents, though, are we hovered and are we like, we are more?
Things are so different, though, dog. Like, man, human trafficking and all that shit, things are so fucking.
But that was human trafficking was around when we was growing up, too.
Yeah, but man, maybe it wasn't covered
because you know what it was
heavy as it was then versus now, but now it's in my head.
I think because we have access to information, so yeah. Information is so readily available that we're thought to me, I'm not a parent yet, but I'm not as worried about the world as like I think I have a philosophy of just kind of like you gotta explore. Like when I watch my great nephew at the house, like things because you know, like when we have kids, you know, I don't let them touch the oven, but like it just, you know, I just kind of, I'm more free flowing so that they get a little bit more freedom like we had. My mother I rode bikes. I remember being lost and didn't know how to get home. I had to call my, like, had to go to the store and say, I need to use your phone so I could call my mother.
Let me tell you, bro. Wow. Half of these kids can't fucking put on deodorant consistently. Okay, they are just trying. Look here, man. You think I'm about to trust you on a bike? Like, I don't know if I should have been trusted on a bike. I don't know. But I know damn well when you see these motherfuckers walking around and they be like, I know you're just getting life and you getting it, but I'm afraid to let you go.
Listen,
Do you think that's because you're a parent now, though?
I think you're looking at it from I think so.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think so. Because a lot of times, like, you know, I'm not the nosy parent, but I am. You know, I may listen to, you know, at their door and see what's going on, go through a phone, you know, text message and see what's going
on. Terrible.
Hey, it is what it is, man. You got to know what's terrible. Going on.
You know why? You know why? You know why you like that? You know why you like that?
Expectation of privacy.
You know what? You know why? You know why you like that?
They ain't got no privacy.
He was nasty and doing his thing when he was looking at
that too. That, and my son is a virgin and I don't know.
You sure?
Is, hey, look here. He has been quarantined, my buddy. Okay. And when he gets his swag, he ain't got his swag all the way right. When he get his swag,
you sure?
Man, look at that nigga ain't got no pussy.
You sure?
Hey man, that nigga, it'd be too busy. If he got some pussy, he gotta be in school. It gotta be in school. That's the only way it could have been in school.
Hey,
let me ask you this.
Remember room 2, what was that? Room 201. They was getting it in at Benny's. So
hey.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, right? If you ask your mama where she think you lost your virginity, what age you think she would say?
She would say 12 or 13.
Okay.
You know that?
Oh, so the story is my great grandmother caught me fucking in the library. We had a library in the house. So.
White privilege.
Rich ass.
Shut up.
And had no books in it, though.
no, wall to wall books, my nigga.
Nah, it
didn't read them bitches though.
I can attest to that shit. It was a shit ton of books.
I'm just talking shit, but I'm just saying. Like, I think it's a matter of like we know what we were doing at this kid's age, so we try to protect our kids from that. But I'm not like for me, I don't want to be that parent. Like, I want to give my kids the freedom that I had. I think my mother raised me very well. Like. As an adult, like, did I have problems growing up? Absolutely. But I think my mother's philosophy on how she raised us made me and my sister a better person. Me and my sister are similar in a sense, like how we take care of our mother, like how we think, how, you know, like my mother's kind of instilled these things in us. And so I want my kids to kind of be able to be independent and not be hovered. Cause I remember my mother cut me off. I remember my mother would not make my doctor's appointment. I would call her, hey, mama, can you make me a doctor's appointment? And she was like, make your own doctor's appointment. I was like, I don't want to call the nurse. I don't want to call up there. Can you call? And I remember my mother cut me off from that. And that was very hard for me. Like, I was like, oh my God, I don't know how. And I didn't make a doctor's appointment for like 3 weeks.
But you know, then, I'm gonna tell you this.
I thought she was gonna say years, man.
I
like going to the doctor. Every kid is different. So, like, it's different strategies. Like, with Keenan Jr., it's just like a straight black and white, you know, like, approach. Like, he's like me. But Madison is totally different to the point where sometimes I don't be understanding. Like, I don't, you know, but it is what it is, you know. When you get them motherfuckers, like, dog, you be thinking, like, yeah, when I was a kid in this age, and you still be like, dog, I don't get it. What's going on? You feel me? Like, man, Courtney, just wait, dog. Let me get puberty. Oh, it's tough, bro. Let me tell you.
I ain't even trying to get that. Listen, I know I'm a fucking helicopter parent. So, like, and I ain't really, like, I ain't all up on you, but, like, I can't, like, we at the park playground or something, y'all playing. I gotta know where you at. Hell, I might even be standing over there near the
that's what I do. Kind of shit.
I mean, because human trafficking is real and niggas is creepos out here. And I got two little girls, so I know you be over there with Mackenzie. Not to mention, I be over there. I got a track. Where your sister? You don't know where your sister at? You're gonna catch your ass whooping. You should be keeping up with her. That ain't your fault. But that's because I be annoyed. And I don't know if it's because of the world today or the job I used to do. Right, like that. I don't know, like playing parts into that. Because for years, because the job I used to do, every time I heard a kid crying in the grocery store, I used to turn around and be like, "What's about to happen? You know, what's going on?" My motherfucking alarm just, you know, set off. Even now, you gotta turn back around. Like, I seen somebody yelling at their kid the other day, and I'm be like, "Hey, don't yell at them like that. Like, what you doing? Ain't they fault? You yanking them up, motherfucker? Like, you know, lady, you yanking this motherfucker up with all your strength? Stop. It's a kid, but
it's a child,
motherfucker. Yeah." All right, moving on to our next topic. Thank y'all for that. Our last final topic, and our word for the people. And I want to ask y'all on a serious note, why don't we talk about suicide in the black community? You know, what is it about the black community that, you know, keeps that as a at an arm's length and never discuss that within our community. So I'm going to start off. Go ahead.
I have more of a question before we
go ahead.
Is new age, you know, younger deal with mental health people? Just talking about in general.
So I kind of missed your question because my internet was fucking up. So, Smitty, you answer that.
I answer. Yeah, so it's more in general, right? Like overall, right? Like we have shifted paradigms, right? Where like the older Black people, older community, they didn't talk about it. Our generation, we kind of talk about it. Like we know when it's mental, we be like, you be like, I'm depressed. You be like, yeah, you better seek some help. Like we kind of like it's kind of then you get the younger generation, like they'll drag your ass to the mental health clinic, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of in general, right? Like not everybody in the community talk about it, but in general, we don't talk about suicide and mental health in our community.
I just think that it's a very hard topic to broach, right? Because I think some people think, well, if I talk about it, that's giving you the idea to do it. Or they don't know anybody who's experienced it. Like people have it just feels like a multitude of reasons why it wouldn't be discussed, right? Because if you've never experienced suicide or if you don't, obviously not, you know, you didn't do it, but like if you've never, you don't know anybody who has taken their own life, it's like, well, why would I talk about this? Why is there a need for me to talk to my kid about potential suicide? I think when you have situations where kids have experienced it or people have experienced it, those people are more apt to have that discussion. Those people are for sure more apt to say like, hey, because I see on Facebook or Instagram all the time, people make those posts saying, I would rather listen to your problems all night than for you to, you know, do something drastic, like, or for you to kill yourself or anything of that nature. I think that as a Black community, we're progressing in the right direction in regards to mental health and suicide, because people are talking about it. People are kind of normalizing the idea that like, hey, if you've got something, some stuff going on with you, if you've got problems, like I'm here to talk to you. I can help you get help. I can be that person to bridge that gap for you.
Okay. Thank you for that. No, my bad. Listen, I'm having issues over here. And so I get that. And, you know, I appreciate that aspect of it, especially like Smitty said with the paradigm shift. So I'm going to go over to who haven't I picked on in a while? Mr. K, I ain't heard from you in a while. What are your thoughts in regards to why, as the Black community, we seem to not talk about suicide as often?
I think sometimes it's about who to go to for help, knowing who to speak to when you need that help. I would say that I'll be honest. At one time, I was going through that and I was thinking about that, and I was older, but it's hard to talk about it. When I was going through school, I was thinking about that, and it was a very low period in my life, and I didn't know who to speak to. And I wound up actually speaking to my mother, who is actually a child therapist to some degree. So she had training in that. So she kind of helped me a lot. So I think it was just a matter of who to speak to. Because at the time I was kind of lost. I didn't know who to speak to. And I just resorted back to my mother. And thank goodness she was sort of trained into that. And she knew how to speak to me and how to push the right buttons to kind of, quote unquote, talk me off the ledge. I wasn't thinking about doing that, but I was close to just not wanting to be here. And it was just very hard to try to find someone to speak to about it. And just because like Tiffany said, it's not something that's really talked about. And when you don't know someone that has been through it or someone that can help you, then you're more lost, kind of feeling like, well, nobody else feels the same way I feel. Nobody else knows what I'm going through. And what am I going to do? You know what? Forget it. Nobody's experiencing everything that I'm feeling. Nobody can understand. It's what is the use? And so I think the hardest thing is just trying to find that help. I think us in the community, we need to make sure that we're readily available and letting people know that you can talk with me. A lot of times where I've talked to certain people and I've said, hey, how's everything going with you? You need anybody to talk to, let me know. I understand we don't even have to talk about what's going on. Just talk about something else. Just give me a cold word just to say, hey, I need to talk to you about something, or I need to talk about something else that kind of gets my mind off of it. So I really believe that just finding that right person to help and that can speak with you and help you work through it.
Thank you, sir. Smitty, what are your thoughts?
I have to agree with both Tiff and Mr. K. I think it's a couple things. It's a lack of openness in our community where, you know, things are kept a secret. You know, I know somebody who lost somebody through suicide and they don't talk about it, you know. And I was like, that's a huge story to kind of let people know, like, your story, because that can help somebody. You know, we just don't share it. Like, we just don't talk through those things. And, like, you know, the, you know, in the situation that happened, it was really sad where the person said they wanted to commit suicide and nobody really took the person seriously. You know, like it was like they was throwing it out. You know, it was almost like, it was like almost kind of like a boy who cried wolf situation, but like they said it and then all, like, they started planning for it. Like, and it just, you know, when you look back on the situation, you know, you like, oh my God, they did this. Like they were planning to, you know, take their life, and they ultimately did, but it was just, the fact is that, you know, when we finally realized what was going on, like, seriously, we were like, it was too late at that point, right? And so I think that you need to tell the story. And so I'm not telling the story in great detail because it's not my story to tell, but I think we just need to be open and tell the story, because that will help somebody and help people realize, like, hey, first off, don't take it for, if somebody said they're going to commit suicide, every time they say it, take it seriously, right? Like, ever since then, like, when people say it, I'm calling numbers, like, they're like, you know, I ain't gonna take my life. I don't care. Like, don't play with that. Like, that's the ultimate don't play, you know? And so, for us, as Black people, we don't have the openness. And just kind of as a way to make sure that everybody knows the number on the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, available 24 hours a day, English, Spanish, is 800-273-8255. Again, that number is 800-273-8255. Call that number if you know anybody that is suicidal, or if you're suicidal yourself. You know, there's things out there for help. And, you know, there's also Talkspace. If you're a text or app user, that's really a good space to kind of go in as well. It's nothing. There is nothing wrong with being at within and want to leave the earth. It's just that we need to make sure that you don't leave the earth, and that you talk to somebody, because no problems is worth ending your life with. You know.
Thank you for that, Smitty. And I totally agree. And please, people, you know, if it's having to go to local support groups, if it's having to, you know, speak with clinicians, use your EAP services at work if you have that option, to find someone to reach out to speak with, a neutral party, just to help you work out with the difficulties that you may have. Depression, anxiety, chronic pain. Chronic pain is something real, right? Like, you know, it's hard to be in pain all day, every day, with no relief in sight, right? Like, I can only imagine, like, when my knees hurting and my back hurting, it's like, man, this is going on 4 or 5 hours. Like, damn, like, when is this going to live up? So I can only imagine with somebody that lives with pain, you know, when they wake up, when they breathe, when they go to sleep, when anything they do, it's just always pain. So, you know, definitely look out for people, you know, and reach out to them and try to be that opening that they can express their feelings or come talk to. So they won't have to have that option of feeling like the only way out is me to end everything. Definitely with bullying too, you know, obviously in this new day, especially with cyberbullying, you know, that's a serious thing. Like, cyberbullying is super serious, because social media is the new drug, and people have their phones and connection all day, every day. And it's kind of hard to escape because of the dopamine release that you get from being on social media. So, you know, we definitely got to make sure we take care of our own and our young, and just ask people, talk to people, reach out to people who, you know, either have a history or you haven't spoke to in a while, and say, hey, man, just, you know, how you doing? How you feeling today? You know, or, you know, anything you want to talk about, just be an open ear and available, or, you know, try to give somebody an outlet or somebody else that can help people deal with like any kind of those stressors. The one thing I agree with Smitty with is that there is a paradigm shift, and you kind of see it with the younger generation of just how they kind of express their feelings and what they're going through and just talk about it. Like they talk about, hey, I'm dealing with anxiety. I'm dealing with pressure. I'm dealing with depression. I'm dealing with these issues. Like, you know, we are that kind of generation that may have sparked it a little bit, but not really. I mean, should I remember fucking having a panic attack at school one day, you know, trying to figure out how I'm going to do a paper. And so I just sat, you know, so I'm on like the middle of libraries at Michigan State fucking bawling my eyes out on the stairs because I'm like, yo, I fucked up and I ain't gonna be able to get this fucking assignment done because it's due tomorrow. And it's like, it's overwhelming me to the point I was like, oh, this is stupid. This paper is not worth my life. Right. So like, you know, I'm not about to freak out. So, you know, I take a failing grade or whatever. And, you know, I just had to come over that. But, you know, a person that wouldn't they be able to do that or just didn't have that outlook, it might eat them at a different way, you know, or who knows? It might have took me an extra hour and I might have been down a different dark path at that point. So, you know, definitely just got to reach out to people and make sure we're more communicable about what is bothering us and what issues we are having. So any final thoughts from anybody on this? We're good. All right.
Never be afraid to get help. Never be afraid to talk to your friends or your family. And sometimes you got to know who you're talking to, right? Like, I think a lot of people struggle with talking about things with their certain friends and family because they don't want it to come back up, or they don't want to be talked about, or they don't want to, you know, seem like they're weak. And I don't think that having the thoughts about suicide or not wanting to be here, that doesn't make you a weak person. And expressing that to someone does not make you weak, right? So just go like seek help, you know, like tell the most solid person in your life, tell them that this is how you feel, tell them that, you know, you're trying to get help, but these are your feelings, and let them help you.
Yes.
And if you don't, like Smitty gave you resources, there are people out there that want to hear from you, that want to talk to you, that want you to be here, and that, you know, are willing to put in the work to help you get past that. So please use all resources available.
I agree. And if you're that person for the person that's dealing with an issue or that's coming to express to you, just be open. No one is saying you have to have the answers or you're trying to fix them. Just be open and to listening and allow that person to communicate just what they're going through to you.
And I also know that, you know, like, I'm a firm believer in God, but sometimes telling people like, well, just pray about it. 9 times out of 10, that's not the right answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not. Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say 10 times out of 10, like that's not necessarily the right answer. And you need more than prayer, right? You need to talk to someone. You need to address those feelings. You need to get the help that you need, whether it be, you know, medication, whether it be therapy, whatever it is, like prayer works, you know, in tandem with also you working. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
All right. So that was my.
No, I appreciate that. And that was well said, because that needs to be told people, because especially in our community, we run into the fact that the church is the end all be all to the answers of everything and our problems. And not saying that the church isn't the place you go to when you're having a crisis, but you need to have that counseling along with that prayer, that spiritual guidance, you know, to help you either deal with or relieve the issue that is at hand. So, no, that's definitely well put. Any final words? Anybody else with any final words? No? I'm good? Okay. So, again, I'm thank y'all for listening and joining the show. This was another amazing show. A lot of different topics that we discussed and talked about, especially that for the Black community. So, I'm going to go ahead and let my people say their piece. Mr. K, go ahead. Talk your shit. What we repping today?
Sure. Valor Clothing Store. What is bravery? What is valor? Is bravery at its finest? Go to valorclothingstore.com on IG and Facebook and get your latest apparel. Spring is coming up. Some real good stuff is coming out really soon. Certainly check that out.
Thank you, sir. King Keith.
What up, though? I want y'all to go check out Sky_Edibles on IG and Facebook. Got some new shit coming this week. We bringing back the Peace Cobbler, Banana Pudding. We just did a Louisiana Crunch Cake going hard. We got the sugar cinnamon pecans coming in. So go ahead, check us out. If you mention No Repercussions, you get 10% off your order.
Thank you, sir. No Repercussions. And Smitty, go ahead and tell them our socials, bro.
Do Chris.
You want to do Chris?
Courtney, do Chris.
I don't know it.
Oh shit! What kind of brother are you?
Yo, so everybody, hit up, you know, Sweet Tea's Car Wash for all of your detailing needs. Right now, they're doing a detailing special for everyone to come around and meet you at your place of employment or your home to detail your car and make sure it's nice and clean. Especially for the springtime that's coming around, you want to make sure you got a nice fancy whip out there. Make sure it's all freshened up and get all that salt and rust out from under your car, especially with the winter months coming back. So mention No Repercussions, and that also is a 10% discount for the Sweet Tea's detailing.
And socials, on IG, we're No_Repercussions, Twitter in Repercussions, Facebook, we're Brunson.Smitty.1 on Facebook. And then, our email address is norepercussionspodcast@gmail.com. So send us your thoughts, questions, comments. We will read them and provide feedback on the show. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate it. So thank you again, everyone. Smitty, King Keys, Tip, Mr. K. I appreciate y'all making time to come out and to have the show with us. Again, follow us on the socials. Hit us up. Let us know if you got any comments or questions. Any mail you want us to read online, any topic ideas. So we'll handle that on the show. And as always, thank y'all for listening. One.
Welcome. Okay.